This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, November 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Social media companies are always working to highlight the best content that users will engage with. But earlier this year, Facebook parent Meta was forced to deal with an uncomfortable reality. Nearly all the top-ranked content on its platform was trash. Clickbait, stolen memes, links to sketchy online shops, and a content report that the company released each quarter was making that knowledge public. On today's show, our reporter Jeff Horowitz joins us to discuss the war room that Meta convened to deal with problematic and regrettable content going viral, and why dealing with it was crucial to the company's future plans. That's after these headlines. Crypto lender BlockFi has filed for bankruptcy protection, becoming the latest major digital asset firm to fail. Earlier this month, BlockFi halted withdrawals and limited activity on its platform after saying it had significant exposure to the collapsed crypto exchange FTX. It was also among several struggling crypto firms that had signed deals to be rescued by FTX in recent months. That agreement is now in jeopardy as FTX worked through its own bankruptcy proceedings. BlockFi said it had hundreds of thousands of customers, and its top 10 creditors alone are owed close to $1.2 billion. Elon Musk says Apple is threatening to remove Twitter from its App Store. The Twitter boss took to his new platform on Monday to make the claim and criticize the computing giant for withdrawing most of its ad spending on Twitter. In a tweet, he asked if Apple supports free speech, and in a poll, asked users whether Apple should publish all censorship actions it's taken that affect its customers. Apple didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. Apple has strict policies around user-generated content on apps in its App Store. It's removed social media apps before, citing objectionable content. Parler, for example, was removed in the wake of the U.S. Capitol riot last year and reinstated after it changed some of its content moderation practices. A new effort to fight fraudsters on Zelle. We report exclusively, some of America's biggest banks are working on a plan to compensate customers who fall victim to scams on the digital payment network. Sources say JPMorgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Bank of America are among those in advanced discussions to create a playbook for refunding customers and each other for illegitimate Zelle transfers. Transactions on the service nearly doubled during the pandemic, but scammers have also increasingly used it to trick customers, often by impersonating a bank's helpline. Zelle operator Early Warning Services said fraud and scam claims have made up less than 0.1% of payments. And Facebook parent Meta has been fined by the European Union for failing to better protect users from data scrapers. Ireland's Data Protection Commission issued the fine, the equivalent of about $276 million, on Monday. It stems from disclosures last spring that a hacker had published personal phone numbers and other profile information of more than 500 million Facebook users. Meta had said it halted the system that allowed scraping back in 2019. This is the latest move by EU authorities to step up enforcement of the bloc's privacy laws, as our European tech reporter Sam Schechner explains.
What is going on is that we're seeing EU privacy regulators start to really do a lot more aggressive enforcement of this EU privacy law called the GDPR, which has been, in effect, being enforced since 2018, but in the early years it was slow to get going. At least that's what some privacy activists say. They wish it had gone faster. And now there's a pipeline of cases that could have more significant impact on the business practices of companies like Meta and other big tech companies. And so we're going to see in coming months, as some of these decisions come out, whether or not they actually start to restrict the way that companies like Meta make money.
A Meta spokesman said the company will review Monday's decision and then decide whether to appeal it. All right, coming up, fines aren't Meta's only problem. It's also fighting a flood of, quote, regrettable content on Facebook. What did the company do to address it? We'll explain after the break.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Last year, Facebook parent Meta began releasing quarterly reports on widely viewed content, basically summaries of the top 20 posts that were viewed most on its platform. The goal was to show the range of content going viral on Facebook. What it ended up showing was that virtually all of the top-ranked content was spammy, over-sexualized, or generally what the company classified as regrettable. Not only was it an embarrassment for the company executives, according to sources and documents reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, it also threatened to throw off Facebook's plans to change users' news feeds. The company got to work, and the latest report released last week shows only one of the top 20 posts qualified as engagement bait. So how did Facebook deal with the problem? And what can other social media platforms learn from its efforts? Joining us to discuss this is our technology reporter, Jeff Horowitz. So Jeff, what kind of content are we talking about when Facebook said it had too much, quote, regrettable content on people's feeds?
So this is a definitional issue in that regrettable, as it was originally conceived of by the company, was like engagement bait, things that violated the rules. It was, I think, a fairly restrictive definition, stuff they didn't want at the top of the platform. So they were moving to adopt Reels, which is a short-form video product. And instead of seeing things that were reshared by people you knew from pages so much, they were going to be directly recommending entertaining videos. It's very much like TikTok. And some of the things I think that they had initially assumed, which is that the kind of low quality content, things that have bad lighting or like unclear what's going on, people filming a video on a TV screen, you know, things that just look terrible as well as are quote unquote gross or a waste of time. Those things weren't captured by their initial definition of regrettable. And so they had to expand it.
How did all this content come to, you know, be at the top of users' feed on Facebook?
So all of it really thrived in the ecosystem Facebook set up, right? Which is that the distribution of content is governed by how people engage with it. You know, if nobody is liking, sharing it, commenting on it, it's not going to go anywhere on the platform. And what the company has, I think, been coming to conclude in the last few years, and certainly is present in this work, is that maybe just because you get a rise out of people and get a response doesn't mean they actually want the content in question. And so there was a concern that, in particular with Reels, that the content quality was going to be really a problem. One of the things I think that was a big focus was quote unquote aggression. And that was videos of people fighting, whether like physically in a Walmart or screaming at each other on the street or what have you. Videos of people being angry and nasty to each other really did well. And they had to figure out how to address that and make sure that that wasn't going to be a lot of what was in there.
And Facebook really had to think about that because it's focused on making this pivot to Reels, its short form video where it's competing against TikTok, right?
Exactly. For a number of years, the company's position on content quality was, look, like we don't get to choose what people like. You know, whatever rises to the top is represents the people's choice, was kind of the attitude about this internally. And it turns out that that may have been a little bit misplaced, and particularly when it came to something that was more like TikTok, which is Reels, I don't think the company was looking forward to being responsible for those recommendations, if that makes sense. Like, this wasn't stuff that someone's friends had liked. This was just sort of Facebook saying, hey, you should check out this content. And then it would be a whole bunch of fight videos.
All right. So let's talk about Facebook's reaction to this. What has it done to try and remove this kind of content from going viral?
So at the beginning of this year, the company put together a content quality war room, which was product and design and integrity, which is kind of the user safety division, all working together to try to define what makes for a garbage video and post and to figure out how to implement that and code that into Facebook systems. So trying to prevent the worst type of content from getting to the top, basically.
And how do we know this?
So that all came from internal documents. You know, I think the company has sort of walked a line between wanting to acknowledge that content quality on Facebook is a priority and that there have been some improvements, and also not wanting to acknowledge how bad the problem was, right? So Facebook did release its widely viewed content report. Almost all the content on it is just fine. Very little engagement bait. It's nothing particularly scandalous or awful. The thing they left out of that public announcement, which they did acknowledge internally in some of the documents I've seen, was that pretty much all of it, like literally 100% of the content in the top 20 posts from a year ago, was low quality or regrettable.
You know, we've been having a lot of conversations on this show. A lot of people have been talking more widely about social media content and content moderation. Is there anything that other platforms or even Facebook itself could learn from this experience?
Yeah. Over a number of years, Facebook has had to rethink its initial position that people engage with was what they wanted. That was always the company's assumption, that intervening would be biased. Because if something was getting reshared broadly, that must mean that people really wanted to see it. And I think time and time again, the company saw examples. It was kind of embarrassed by what was at the top of the chart. And over time, I think it started developing metrics for what users valued. And it turns out that what users reacted to wasn't the same thing that what users valued. And so I think when we're looking at, say, Twitter and Elon Musk right now, the whole idea of, I want this to be a platform for free speech, and I want it to be something that's newsworthy and reliable and trustworthy, all of those things, it doesn't just happen on its own. It seems like what Facebook's learned is that you have to go into this stuff with some level of values, not whether it's, you know, whether one should or shouldn't be able to say a particular thing, but just like, that you can't use sort of spammy content and engagement tricks to beat the algorithm and get to the top. You have to do something to protect yourself against that.
All right, that's our reporter, Jeff Horowitz. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Certainly. Thank you for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you're looking for more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you're a fan of the show, why not show your support by leaving us a rating and review wherever you get your podcasts? It helps other people find us. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I'm Paul Jugot, and you can join me, Kim Strassel, Kyle Peterson, and our colleagues on the Potomac Watch podcast each Monday through Friday. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app.